Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show with your host, Sheila Willis. It all starts with the mind. As it has been said, as a man thinks, so is he. So when your mind is happy, your life is happy. You'll discover that when your mind is happy, your relationships get better. When your mind is happy, your health gets better. You'll even discover when your mind is happy, your money gets right. So tune in and let's discuss how to have a happy mind in order to have a happy life.
Hello, hello everyone. This is Sheila, and welcome to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. We are having technical difficulties, and I apologize for that. I don't know if you were trying to listen, you were not able to. I basically shut down everything and brought everything back up. And this is your host, Sheila Willis. We're having some technical difficulties with our guests being able to hear us. And actually, I have a sound person that checks the sound, and I haven't heard from them today. So I'm not sure if you're even able to hear me tonight, but if you're not, the show will still be recorded. So I apologize for all of the confusion. If tune in now and you're trying to figure out what happened, why there was silence before. I apologize if you're out there and cannot hear me. Wow. This is this is what happens sometimes when you have a live show. Things can go as things don't always go as planned, is what I'm trying to say. So let's see if we can get hello, Happy Mind, Happy Life. Hello.
Hi, it's Sean Dow.
You can hear me?
I can
hear
you.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
I sure can.
I was so determined. I said, no, I know this is not, normal. It's a bit unorthodox, but I'm going to just shut this video down and just bring everything back up. So, again, listening, I apologize, but that was just something that was to be on my control. I don't know what happened. It may have been the way I was connected before I did shut everything down and use my backup source. So bottom line is we're all here and we all be heard. Right, Chandra?
Yes, you are right.
Now, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
It's Sean Dell. So you were very, very close.
Okay. I apologize for that. And I don't know what is just real, because now I look at the spelling of it, there's R in it at all. I guess I just want to put it in. But anyway, let's kind of gather composure here. And we may go just a little beyond our times. We do. We're just starting all over again. And so this is the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show, and I'm your host, Sheila, with Abundant Life Coach. And as always, I'm very happy to have you here, and I hope you are equally excited to be here. It is April 12, 2018. Generally, our starts at 5:30, but it's all 6 now. But you know what? I have a saying that all's well that ends well. And so we are here now. We are talking about the power of woman to influence, the topic of our discussion tonight. I just want to tell you just a little bit, and I want to welcome all of our new listeners tonight. as well as here to support Sundell. Sundell, right? Oh, I did lose her. Still here?
I hear you now.
Okay. You have to have a nickname. That'll probably be better for me if I mess up the name. Do they call you?
Let's go with Sean.
All right.
You can call me Sean.
Me.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. One of my twin daughter's name is Sean, so I'm good with that. And I hate to mess up people's names, but I am just I'm just not really good with always pronouncing names correctly. I'll call you Sean, so we won't mess up names. So let me tell you a little bit, listening audience. Let me tell you the reason why we dedicated the month of April to the celebrating honoring women. I mean, I know women always celebrated, always honored, but we wanted to take this particular month, just to have a month, we just lift up women and honor women. The three things that I heard, and the second one was that it was the year of woman. And the spirit didn't say the woman, it said the year of woman. So I'm going to say it the way I heard it. And the last thing that I heard is that it was year of collaboration. So I have had, since the beginning of the year, I have had confirmations in all of those areas that it is so the year of the greater, the year of woman, and it is the year of the collaboration. So I wanted to take this month and just really honor and really celebrate. We wanted to have women to come on and be able to share their stories of transformation, to share their stories of, you know, overcoming. And so those that are out there that are listening, that maybe you're having some challenges in some areas of your life, we want you to know that you can go from being a victim to the victor. You can go from suffering to surviving and overcome, you know. So I want Sean to share her story tonight. And I know she has a powerful story because most powerful women do have a story. We all have a story. And we've been there, you know, and we know the struggles and we know the challenges. And you never really, let me say it this way, there's no way to discourage anyone. But we're going to have challenges, you know, as long as we're here in this earth suit. You know, it's like every time you go through the places of growth, when you're growing, you know, you reach one level, and then when it's another time to reach another level, then that's a whole new set of challenges. But the challenges that we have, the trials, the tribulations, and all of those things that come, they're not coming to break us, but they're coming to make us. And so when we understand that, when we don't fight against it, but we allow ourselves to be made and to go through those things, you know, like finding that refiner's fire. You know, you got to go through the fire to come out as pure gold. So it's all about that. But I want you to know, if you are there, if you're in a place of being challenged, you know, I say challenge. I use the word problem. I don't use those type of words because it has negative energy. And so when we understand that things that we go through are for our making and not for our breaking, then we are able to go through it a lot better. So I want Sean Rogers to share her story tonight. Feel free, you know, to share whatever is on your heart and however you want to share it. I'll jump in, you know, when I feel, you know, led to, but I want to turn it over to you.
Absolutely. And I have a story. When you think about that whole transformation and going through the fire and coming out pure gold,
yes.
That is one of my absolute most fundamental beliefs. because I, you know, I grew up a young girl, and I think the first kind of hit for me, I think we go there, there's those milestones in life when you're like, whoa, I think when you're going through transformation, for you to really begin the healing process, you got to go back. You got to go back to some of those ugly places, some of those markers, some of those spots in life that really begin to change you. Because if you want to figure out, okay, who was I meant to be before this and that happened, you got to go back to that moment. And I think first moment where I felt, where I, when I look back and I say, okay, that that changed me, was growing up without my biological father.
Okay.
And, you know, that being a young girl and my mom married my brother's father. So I think for a long time I didn't realize that, you know, people, you know, most of my friends, as we begin to have socialize and have friends, most of them had their father in their home, their dad. And I didn't realize it until I began to have social relationships that, you know, this was their biological fathers and there were these relationships that I just didn't have. And my stepfather, he wasn't fathering me. He wasn't treating me like I was his child. There wasn't that same connection, although he was married to my mother. So I didn't have what that first husband, with my mom's first husband, there wasn't like that person that kind of took that place. So there began that spot, the hole begins. That's where the hole begins for me, because I begin to wonder why I wasn't good enough. Why no one loved me? Why my daddy didn't love me? What was it about me? I can recall waiting for my dad in the window. He was supposed to come and get me. And I sat there for hours waiting for him. And so that begins the, you know, I grew up having issues of trust. And I'm like, where did that begin? That began in that moment for me when my dad told me he was coming and he never showed up for his little girl. Like, why? You know, I had never went and spent time with my dad. And so I was so looking forward to that moment. And so that kind of started it for me. And then I was molested. And the molestation, the hole gets deeper. And that's really where the true damage began for me. You know, it was one thing to deal with the hit of not having a father, but then to have the man who was supposed to be a father figure to me take advantage of me.
That protector.
It drug me to a dark place. And then there were other people along my life who also took advantage of me sexually. And this was all before I was 10 years old. So I was extremely young. I was between the ages of about 6 and 9. It happened over the course of about 3 years. And I was between about 6 and 9 during that time. And, you know, when you deal with those things, and then, you know, my mom was them, you know, she had me when she was 21, so she was young, trying to figure her life out and trying to keep a roof over our heads. And, you know, you don't know what you don't know when you're that young. And the marriage was tumultuous, to say the least. So there were a lot of things that I saw in terms of physical abuse and mental abuse and cheating. And it was just a very volatile environment to grow up in as a child. And so, you know, by the age of 10, before I hit those fundamental years of, you know, being a tween and a teen, I was pretty damaged already.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, it was kind of all downhill after that. It was like,
sure, I can imagine. So yeah.
Yeah, so it was, you know, just trying to be heard, and the battle, I think, with my mother as a young girl, trying to have a voice when you don't feel like you have one, and there's this secret that I'm keeping that my mom and no adult knows about. but it's eating me alive inside, and it's changing my personality. I became very angry as a child. I was in a lot of physical altercations, and that was just me trying to protect myself.
Right.
And just trying to filter my anger. And because I couldn't filter my anger at the person who had hurt me, I filtered my anger to other people. And so I had a lot of issues, a lot of disciplinary issues as a young girl. And, you know, there were times I remember my mom just really feeling angry and hopeless because there was always, you know, she was always an issue. And she had no idea what was going on with me beneath the surface.
Right, yeah, what was causing the anger, yeah.
Right, what was causing this sudden change in behavior for me. And so, you know, that attitude and that way of being really, really kept on through this time. And, you know, me and my mom's relationship just began to deteriorate because I held her, you know, my main person, the main, you know, the guy who did the most sexual, you know, the most thing of me, he ended up dying. And so there was no one left. After he was dead, I was able, you know, my mom, who was no longer in our lives, but now I was able to just take this anger out towards her. And so our relationship began to deteriorate at a very young age, and I became extremely defiant towards my mom.
Okay.
And that began a great deal of my relationship with her. And my mother did get remarried to an amazing man who did step in when I was about 10 years old. When I was about 10 years
old.
I
was going to say, so there was some redemption. There was some light.
Yes.
With
yes,
her. Yeah.
There was. Yes. And that was great, but there was so much still, there was still the damage had been done that wasn't being addressed. And so I was carrying these adult emotions and these adult feelings, and I didn't know what to do with them. And, you know, my family, my mom was in church, and we were in church all the time, but I wasn't hearing behind the pulpit things that were going to help me heal, because those types of things that I dealt with weren't really being spoken about.
Exactly, right.
That wasn't being spoken about. So I didn't know what to do. And again, you know, I kept that secret for a long time. I finally eventually told my mother when I was about maybe 13 years old. And that was because my siblings pretty much addressed me about my anger. And I just kind of like lost it. And shared with them, you know, what I had been holding, and they forced me to tell my mother and they forced me to tell my stepfather because he was the only one who was there. And he told my mother. Yeah. So that was like my first time really putting it out there and releasing it. But, you know, again, my parents, they had never dealt with this. My mother had been a victim herself. But the way things were dealt with when she was younger, that's all she knew. So there wasn't any help given to me. It was a lot of mourning, and I'm sorry, but I needed help. And that really wasn't offered to me. You know, I had gotten it out, but I wasn't put in a position where, you know, I was put in front of a doctor to where I could start, you know, someone could listen, a psychiatrist, psychologist, counselor, where I could start digging through those layers of damage that had really been done, you know, because at this point, by the time I was about 13, I was dealing with low self-esteem.
Right.
And insecurity. Issues with trusting, and those issues thrust me into teen panic. Next thing I knew, I was pregnant.
Wow.
16 years old.
Hold on a second, Sean. I just felt like I haven't properly introduced you. So let me just let the listening audience know know that you're listening to Shondell, and I hope I got it right this time, Rogers. She's a transformation speaker and a writer for Women More magazine. So I just kind of want you to know who she is as she is sharing her story, because as you go through the challenges and struggles she has had, and then you'll see the transformation and to where she is now. I just wanted to make sure I introduce you properly so the listening audience can know who you are and why your story is important to us. Go right ahead. Sorry for the interruption.
No problem. I appreciate that. So at 16 years old, at 15 years old, I was involved with someone who was 19, quite a bit older than me. And, you know, that stemmed from my daddy issues that I had, this attraction to people who were older than me. And then I found myself pregnant at 16 years old, a junior in high school, and I'm faced with being a mother. And that was scary, but yet I was looking forward to it because I finally felt like there was going to be something that was going to love me.
Right. Yeah.
And I was going to love it. And, you know, something and somebody that was going to accept me for who I was, because, you know, I struggled with my relationship with my mother and just not feeling understood. And, you know, and the pregnancy didn't make my relationship with my mother easy.
Oh, I'm sure.
At all.
Yeah.
You know, at all, because, you know, she wanted more for me and didn't understand, you know, why I was making the choices that I was making. She wasn't happy with the relationship. And, you know, here I was. I was faced with, you know, teen pregnancy. And so at that point, I felt like any dreams and goals that I had were pretty much done.
Done, yeah.
What do you think? I don't think, I thought in my mind, like, it was over. Like, it's a wrap. Girlfriend, you know, if I was going to college, but I was going to have to stay local, I was really going to have to find a job, and I wasn't even out of high school.
And isn't that a horrible thing to, isn't a horrible thing to have to face at such a young age? You know what I mean? To be so young. And I know there's some many women that can relate, because I definitely can relate, to be so young and to already, if I can say it this way, to have given up on your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations, that young of an age, like, it's just over. And then it's not because of the things you've done necessarily, but that have been done to you, that will put you in this place of hopelessness. And at 15, 16, you feel like you're done with life. Isn't that something? For the lack of a better, just horrible, you know? And so many women that are going through that, I mean, so many young girls that are going through that right now, and so many women that may be adults in age, but they still have that little broken girl on the inside that feels like her life is just over. She's not even reaching for her dreams or goals or anything. She's just living from day to day. She's a mother, perhaps, but she's a child. Another child. And that's what happens to us when we become broken. We're these little girls still, you know. And you were talking about earlier that how we have to pull off these layers and how we have to go through the painful experiences, relive them almost, in order to be healed from them so we can grow up, so we can become these mature adult women. Because some of us are still just these little girls, these broken little girls, you know, and we're stuck in that energy. We're stuck in that place, and we can't move on until we receive that healing. Yeah. So I just wanted to interject that. Yeah.
Yes, and I absolutely want to piggyback off of what you said. You do, because until you address it, I don't care what your number age is, When I finally started to address, and I'll go back and talk a little bit more about my story, but even in the moment that I began to work on my stuff, prior to that, I literally was stuck, and I didn't realize that as a child, inside, my development literally had gotten crippled at such a young age that I didn't move past
that
because that moment had dictated and ran my life. Those moments where we become so torn down and hurt, they literally begin to change the trajectory of our lives because it begins to dictate the decisions that we make for ourselves, and we don't even know what funnel we're making those decisions through, but you're making that through the pain that you're trying to mask, that you're trying to hide, that you're trying to deal with, you know, and it's so true. It's so true. And, you know, here it is at 17 years old, I am now being faced with adult, you know, responsibilities.
Right.
And I'm dealing with the fact that at this point, there's a feeling of hopelessness. There's a feeling of it's no longer about me, you know, it's about my child. And that's what we were taught. You know, our parents, that's what it was. Like, if you had a baby at a young age, like, nope, it's no longer about you, honey. It's about that baby. And that becomes
your focus.
That became my focus. My focus became, I have to now take care of this kid. And your dreams, the thing that I told myself was that my dreams and my aspirations no longer mattered. I needed to make sure that I put myself in a position to be able to provide. I just went right into being, how can I provide? Being a provider.
And
that's the way I kind of went my life is, you know, that's where I began, you know, the rat race for me began. I finished school and, you know, while I was in college, full time. I went to the community college and then I worked three jobs while I did that and was a mom only to end up pregnant again.
Okay.
At 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am again. You know, and again, this is me on my journey to be loved, to feel appreciated. For attention. And this person is now 5 years old. We're giving me daddy issues all over again, you know. And I begin that, you know, just wanting security and wanting to be loved. And so, you know, while in college, we moved in together. And, you know, trying to play house and have this family. And at this point, I'm still a broken child. My ideas about relationships are broken. I really haven't. At this point, my mother was divorced from her second marriage. So I hadn't really seen, you know, I didn't have a good.
You have an example.
Marriage. My grandmother was divorced. My auntie's divorced. You know, so there was an example for me of what right looked like. So I was just, you know, trying to figure it out on my own.
Sure.
And, you know, this is baby dad number two. And at this point, I'm beginning to tell my kids because, you know, there's a stigma. There's a stigma when you have a baby at 17. And trust me, my teachers made me feel it.
I'm sure.
I felt it.
Yeah.
You know. When, you know, you're going to church and, you know, like, this is not acceptable. When you're in the stores and you're, you know, people think that's your little brother, but it's your child. And
right.
You know, there's a stigma. And so that doesn't make you feel good about yourself. And so I was already dealing with those issues. And here I am. Now it's baby daddy number two. And I'm having another kid and I'm 20 years old. And I had my son at 21. And, you know, at this point, like, I'm going to try to force myself to make this relationship work because, gosh, this is baby number two. And here I am, a child trying to create this adult life. And I had been in relationships ever since I was, like, I think I had, you know, ever since I was, like, 13. And I had never been by myself. And I didn't there was just so much confusion, and there's so much difference when you're 20 and he's 25, just where you two are in your lives. And I wasn't happy. You know, I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable. And then I was on the receiving end of domestic violence.
Okay.
And I said, no, like, I'm not doing this. I had seen my mom go through it, and I knew I could not stay in that type of situation. And it only took one time for me to say, I was really strong in that area because I had grown up, I'd grown up doing it. And so it was just that one time, and it was all it took for me to say, I can't do this. You know, this is
crazy. At least you had that strength. At least you had that strength, you know. At least you had that part of you that, like you say, was strong enough to say no. Because some women don't, you know, because they don't feel that. They don't like their word of anything else, you know. And in some ways, as you were saying, they feel like, I gotta make this work. I gotta stay with this man because perhaps this is the only chance or opportunity that I'm going to get. And so they stay. So I applaud you that you did have the strength to at least say no, you know. Yeah.
Yes. And that was it for me. That's when I decided, you know what, I wasn't going to, I couldn't move forward in that relationship because I didn't know. I know that opens the door. And one thing I knew I couldn't deal, I was dealing with enough emotional pain that I couldn't take physical pain on top of that.
Right.
And every day looking, and I'll never forget the moment where I woke up in the middle of the street. Like, that moment plays, you know, I'll never forget that. And I remember waking up off the ground thinking, oh my gosh, like,
wow,
you just took me till I passed out. And I said, you know, looking at the bruises on the side of my face, there, I can't. I'm like, this I can't do. I have two sons, and I wouldn't say that I loved me enough, but I wasn't going to tolerate that. Like, I wasn't going to sit up there and wait for the next time for you to put your hands on me because you had too much alcohol. I wasn't going to do that. I didn't love me enough. I loved my kids too much.
Yeah.
And
there you go. You know, there you go. And that, that's what it was for me, because I was in an abusive relationship at one while. And what the breaking point for me, or I would say where my strength came, was I didn't want that life for my children. You know, I figured, okay, if I decide I want to live this way or that way, that's my decision. But to make that decision for my children, I wasn't going to do that. So that's what gave me the strength to get out of it, because I felt like, oh no, you know, I'm not going to allow my children to go through this. So you'll find your strength in your children. Sometimes I say, maybe you don't love yourself enough, but you love your children enough to come out of those type situations. So let me stop just a moment here and say that you are listening to The Happy Mind. This is your host, Sheila Willis, and tonight we're talking about the power of woman to influence. And Chandra is sharing her story tonight. We're talking about her transformation from where she had her challenges and to how she got to her victory. I do want to say to the listening audience tonight, to the ladies, the women that are listening in tonight, perhaps you are in some type of abusive relationship, whether it is verbally, whether it's emotionally, and perhaps it's physically, and maybe it's all three. But I want you to know that you can find the strength. And there's many. I mean, back in the day, I don't want to myself, but back in the day, they didn't have the support systems and agencies that they have now, where you can reach out to people for help. And so if you're in any type of abusive relationship and you want to get out, there are tons and tons, and I know Shandra can share with you as well some information regarding that. And if you want to send an email and or you know and talk about it, and maybe I can assist you with giving you some referrals, you can send me an email at sw@lifecoachlawillis.com. That's my email address. You can send an email, and I will be happy to help you to research places of safety. But you do not have to stay in any type of abusive relationship. There is help. There is definitely help for you. As one that has come out of it, I mean, when you're in it, sometimes you feel like there's no life outside of it. Maybe you're afraid. I was afraid for a long time, but I got the strength to do it. You know, I got the strength to do it. I remember one time, and I'll just share this really quickly, when I was in an abusive relationship, because one of the threats that they generally give you is that I'm going to kill you if you leave, you know. And then it got to the point where I didn't even care about you going to kill me, you know what I mean? It got so bad till I felt like I'd be better off dead, you know. And to have to go through this abuse, you know, I would just be better off dead. So, yeah, I'm out of here. If you want to kill me, then, hey, I'd rather be dead than live with you. And that's that's where I came to. You know, that place where, hey, because they ain't living. You know, going through this pain and this abuse every day is not living. And so I'm saying to you, ladies, because I know, you know, those of you who are followers of my teachings, you know I believe in the law of attraction. And I know you're here because you need to hear that. I know the ladies out there that need to hear this. And so if you're in any type of abuse relationship, please me, it can be, you know, Google it. Google shelters, Google agencies that can assist you, but please do not stay in that abusive relationship. You are worthy. You're worthy of all things good. You are. And it can be, I know some men who are in abusive relationships.
Yes.
You know if you can believe it or not. Yeah, physically too. I know some men that are in abusive relationships, and we would say, how in the world? But yeah, I do know some men who have been physically abused by their significant others. So men, if you're out there and you need some help, reach out. No one deserves to be treated poorly. No one deserves that. So, yeah, so I'm going to go ahead. Sean, I just wanted to stress that.
I just want to add to even what you said. You know, I think people, and I want people to understand that, you know, physical abuse is one aspect, but what's even worse is mental abuse, emotional abuse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those people be serious. You can hide those behind makeup.
Right.
But
right.
Ladies, the emotional abuse, I've been in emotionally abusive relationships.
Yeah.
And it's even worse. That is even worse. The scars that
it's
people
true.
Don't see. You know, I would say feel empowered. That don't think to yourself that just because it's not physical, it's not bad.
Right.
You know, he doesn't
exactly
put his hands on. You know, but sometimes men are so broken that in order for them to feel, you know,
right.
for them to feel better about themselves and not feel as powerless as they feel inside, they have to manipulate the emotions.
Right.
Women, you know, so they know that this woman, you know, if I can break her emotionally, then I can do these
right.
things. And
I can control her.
Yes. And so that's just as painful.
Yes,
and being a person who, you know, in a, had been in a relationship where there was a lot of emotional abuse and you're dealing with someone cheating on you, you know, multiple times. And because for me, by the time I became an adult, you know, fast forward into adulthood, had my third child by the time I was 25 years old, another father, another baby daddy at the time, so to speak, who now is my husband, but that is, you know, talk about transformation. But at that time, you know, with, you know, my son's father, and I brought so much baggage through all of these relationships and the relationships in between, you know, you bring so much with you. And, you know, for me during this journey began because, you know, when you're, I know for me as a woman, as a young girl who had been molested, my attitude towards sex was skewed. It was so skewed. And I began to live my life wanting and desiring control. I never wanted someone to take advantage of me like those people had taken advantage of me. I never wanted ever to be in a position where someone took advantage of me. And so I sought out people who were weaker, you know, when it came to, you know, to men who had certain types of characteristics, who I could maybe manipulate. But I also felt like, you know, using my sexuality to manipulate men made me feel, and it was a very false sense of power, but made me feel powerful. You know, here I am taking, I'm taking something that someone just took from me. You know, these people took this from me, and now I'm going to use it to manipulate the opposite sex. I'm going to use that because evidently, if these people wanted it that bad, there must be something about this. There must be something about it. It must be something. And so let me use it to control. But what happens is, you know, and it's so true, every time you, you know, you get in the bed with somebody, you literally are leaving pieces of yourself behind.
So true.
And so,
it's so true.
You know, the promiscuity that ensued because I was so broken, thinking that I was using my sexuality as a way to get back my power, only left me feeling more powerless.
Sure. Yeah. Because then now you got all these little broken pieces everywhere. Because like you say, every time we connect with people physically or sexually, we do leave pieces of ourselves. And so then if we have multiple partners, then we have all these little pieces, you know, that's scattered abroad. So yeah, I do start to feel less than, you know. And let me pause right here just for a moment. And I just want to say that this is the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. I'm your host, Sheila Lewis, and tonight we're discussing the power of woman to influence. We have as our special guest, Chanel Rogers. She's a transformation speaker and the writer for Women of More magazine. And we just pulled up our chairs. We're just having a fireside chat. Just want to talk to you, ladies, to encourage you to assist you with just being the powerful woman that God has made you to be. And men, if you're listening, and I hope you are, fellas, I hope you desert us this month because we're talking about women, but I want you all to know how to maybe better treat the women that are in your lives, you know. And so we're just we had a very challenging start, but we're flowing now. But we're getting close to the time when we usually end the show. We got about 30 minutes. So what I want to do is open the lines. Those who are out there, perhaps you have a question. Maybe you're going through something that maybe you want advice or just want to share something that's on your heart tonight. And so please feel free to call in. That number is 834-0637, and we're here to take your calls. We're here to assist you in whatever way we can. Please, we would love to hear from you tonight. Again, that number is 949 574-0637. Please call in. We're here to take your call. And I have someone that's on the line now. So hold on a second and let's see if we can bring them on.
Sure.
Hello, this is Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. Hello? Caller, are you there? Hello? Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know if you're able to hear me or not able to hear me, but sorry we couldn't bring on. Please give us a call back if you like. Thank you for calling. John, are you still able to hear me?
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, so I don't know what happened. Maybe they'll give us a call back. Okay, so go ahead and finish sharing your story.
Sure. So, you know, I'm in my 20s. At this point, alcohol comes into play. I'm trying to numb myself, and I become a regular abuser of alcohol.
Okay.
And, you know, that's an escape for me. But that opens up other doors. There also came sexual confusion. I began to become confused about my own sexuality and question my sexuality and begin to entertain, you know, bisexuality. All this sexual confusion and promiscuity,
yeah,
and alcohol comes into play, and I literally was out of control.
Okay.
I literally was out of control, and you figure I was a little girl who grew up in the church, and at this point, I had totally strayed. Like, I had walked away, had become what people call church hurt, and had walked away from my relationship with God, and I was literally like a person. I was literally like in the wilderness, like lost. And,
yeah,
you know, here I am, rear of these three sons. I'm out of control. You know, I'm like party all the time, you know, alcohol. But, you know, I was a provider for my children. And, you know, I made sure I was very good at hiding the truth about who I was from my children.
Okay.
I was very good at hiding my pain in that way. Now, mind you, it showed up in my, you know, in my parenting, but in terms of my alcohol abuse, you know, they didn't really see any of that, like, you know, the partying and the craziness and my sexual confusion. I hid a lot of that from my children because I always knew
okay.
kids to see me in a certain way, you know. But
sure.
I was coming unraveled. I was literally unraveling. My relationship with, you know, my youngest son's father at that time, our relationship was tumultuous. It was on and off. We were both two broken people trying to, you know, instead of trying to restore our own selves, we're too busy trying to, you know, restore each other, you know. So he's too busy
right.
pointing out what I need to fix. I'm too busy pointing out what he needs to fix instead of really just working on myself. And I just got
yeah.
to a point in 2014 where I'm working. I've literally disconnected myself from every gift that I knew I had. I've been a writer ever since I was a little girl. And even through all of the, you know, trials and craziness that was happening in my life, and all the nonsense that I was doing, and, you know, had run-ins with the law, and just crazy. And so in all this, you know, I would write right there, but I was inconsistent with writing. But I always loved writing and reading. That was always something that I loved. My mom would tell you, like, I would read a book in a day. Like, I just always loved to read, and I just was
wow.
always an avid writer. I always loved to write. And so disconnected from, you know, from my passion and my love for writing. I was singing. I was always singing. And I, you know, I had disconnected myself from that. I was on the choir in church. And I just loved that. I grew up in a home, you know, where my mom got remarried to my stepdad. There was just always music in our home. And he was in a band. And it was just music was like my music was so therapeutic for me. Music and writing was
okay.
really therapeutic. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it was very therapeutic. Writing was very therapeutic for me because it was a way for me to escape, a way for me to get my feelings out, and a way for me to express myself without being judged, being able to get it out without having to tell someone and fear that they would judge me or they wouldn't understand me or they would tell someone. So I really, had this love for, for writing. And when it finally got to the point of where I just felt like I had unraveled to the point where I was like hit rock bottom emotionally, I was empty. I had nothing that I could give. Hurt, unfulfilled, confused, lost. And I was to a point where I knew I had told myself for years I never wanted to get married, and I had decided to stop lying to myself. The reason why I didn't want to be married because I didn't think I would be a good wife. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think anybody could love me. And so when I stopped lying to myself, I made the decision. I'll never forget. I was in my bathroom and I looked in the mirror and literally didn't recognize myself. I saw my face, like I saw me, but I didn't know who she was. I had become so far removed from the person I knew I was supposed to be that I just felt unrecognizable. And I just began to weep. I literally stood in the mirror and I wept for myself because I didn't know who I had become. I had allowed this pain to push me so far outside of who I knew I was designed to be. And at the moment, I didn't know exactly what I was designed to be. I didn't know anything about my purpose, but I knew who I was at that moment, this girl who had been, had many run into the law at this point, who was drinking the alcohol excessively, who was promiscuous, who was, sexual confusion, who was angry, who was hurt, who was lost. I knew I wasn't her. And I knew that was about 2011 for me. And I knew that I needed to do something. And I started to peel back the layers. And my very first step was just figuring out why I did what I did. And I started to write home, think about what I was doing, and Shondell, why are you doing this? What is the reason behind? And I would face that pain point head on. And that was the beginning for me. I started to see a therapist, and I want people to know that's an okay part of the process.
It's okay. Yes.
It is an okay part of the process. It is okay. I saw many therapists between that year during that time because I really needed to understand me and my mess. And I needed sometimes you can't sort all that out alone. You need someone who can really help you to break some of that down and really help you to identify some things about yourself and help you see yourself in a different way and really begin to address those things head on. And so sometimes I think people feel like they got to take on their mess themselves. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'm saying it's a lot harder to do.
I think it also depends on the depth of what you've gone through, the depth of the pain, the depth of the hurt, and whether or not you can go through it alone or if you need somebody to help you, somebody to help you walk through it. I think and I don't want to make this racial, but I think in Black culture,
absolutely,
we have made, going to see a therapist or a counselor, we made it a taboo. Oh, girl, you crazy. Oh, man, something wrong with you. You know what I mean? And so people don't feel the freedom to do that. They don't want people to know, there's something, I got some type of issue, or I don't want people to think that I'm crazy, but it ain't about that. It's about being healed and it's about
be whole. And if who, you know, this is what I found out in my 60 years here on this planet, that people want to say what they want to say anyway, regardless of what you do, people are going to always have something to say. So you might as well get what you need to be whole. Because if you don't, mm-hmm. they can talk about you. If you do go, they can talk about you. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, just be whole. If you need to step out of your place of fear, or I think you mentioned earlier, Sean, about not wanting to be exposed, not wanting anybody to know. I know when I went through my abuse situations, I had brothers, you know, and I had a father, a stepfather, but a father that was in the home. But I was afraid. I was embarrassed, actually. I was embarrassed to mm-hmm. tell someone the person that's supposed to love me is abusing me. The person who is mm-hmm. supposed to be taking care of me is abusing me. I was ashamed and embarrassed to tell my brothers that. They probably could have helped me, you know. But that speaks mm-hmm. of something else to me, and I hope many of you are out there listening. You know, as men, as a male in the household, whether it be for your mom, your wife, your daughters, your sisters, your nieces, you're the protectors, you know. And when a woman cannot, regardless of what the relationship she has with you, when she doesn't feel that she comes to you, that will help her. And that's another part of it, Sean. I didn't feel like my brothers could help me. You know what I mean? I didn't mm-hmm. feel like they had helped me. You know, I didn't feel like my father had. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I was basically all alone. Of course, I didn't think my mom could help me. The men that were in my life, out of all of the men, brothers, my father, my uncles, I didn't feel like it was one man that I could go to say, help me, this person is hurting me. Now, that speaks volumes. And we can't even get into that part of it. Men, you got to show mm-hmm. up. You got to show up as men in the life of the women that are in your lives. You got to show up for them. You got to let them know that you are there, because men are the protectors. That's part of your role. I mean, women, you know, we protect our children and we protect our husbands. But I'm just talking about, in general, overall, the man is the protector. You're our covering. You're supposed to be there for mm-hmm. us, you know, in that capacity. Some men fail miserably in that area, and I'm not listening to you, man. I'm just saying this is an area where you should be able to show up. There should not be a woman in your life, whatever relationship she is to you, that is being abused, and she doesn't feel like she could come to you for help. It just shouldn't be. You know, and we'll move that at another time. But Sean, I want you to we got about 15 minutes left
sure.
of the show. And again, I invite those of you who are out there, please call in. I'm sorry for the person that did call in. I apologize to you why you couldn't hear me. But feel free to call back in. The number to dial in is 949-534-0637. We're here to take your calls. We'd absolutely love to hear from you tonight. And like I say, in whatever way you want, if you have a question and you have something on your heart, maybe you want to share a story, whatever it is, just feel free to call in. Now, Sean, you know, we're going to have you back because I know you have a lot more that you can share with us. And I do apologize to you as well for all of the technical difficulties that we had in the beginning. I have no idea what happened, but I knew we had to do this show, because if for things to be fighting against it, I know, no, she's got a whole story. We have to hear this story. And so I apologize for those technical difficulties. And I do want to, I don't know what your schedule is, but we'll get together on that. I would love to have you to come back again and share more. We're not finished hearing you tonight. I just want to say we want to have you come back and share again. So while, since we're just, you know, got about 30 minutes, so letting that, in these final minutes, can you show us, can you tell the listening audience, that woman, that girl out there that is going through similar situations, that don't know what to do and doesn't know how to come out of it. Can you share with her what was your one turning point and how you begin to make the steps of transformation?
You have to be honest with yourself.
Good.
In the midst of your brokenness, when no one else is there, you have to first have that first honest moment with yourself, and it's the hardest moment when you're really honest. When you own all of your decisions, when you stop making excuses and blaming other people, and you own. Because what happened to us, the things that have happened in our lives may not have been our fault, but how you respond to them, you own.
If
your pain thrust you into sexual promiscuity or drugs or alcohol, you made that decision. And as long as you sit in and blame the people who hurt you for the decisions that you're making, you're not being honest with yourself. The day that you become honest with yourself is the day that you can start the road to healing. And so you have to be honest. You have to be honest with the fact that, you know what, at the end of the day, I made every decision. If you've been locked up, if you've had your children taken away from you, if you, you know, haven't been able to keep a job, no matter what it is, if you have issues with your weight, no matter what it is, you have to own that that situation is a result of you.
Right.
Okay? Allowing the pain to dictate your life. And so the first step is making the decision that you're not going to be a victim to the pain and you're not going to use it as an excuse anymore for your actions.
You're going to start to own the decisions
that you make for your life. And that's where it starts, and that's where it has to start. You got to own your pain. And you got to be responsible for your own feelings. If you're looking for the people who hurt you to heal you, you'll be waiting for the rest of your life. Okay? The people who hurt you are not responsible for fixing it. Because trust me, along your journey of pain, you've hurt, cut people with your broken pieces. You know, we've hurt people as broken people, as hurt people, we've hurt people. I can't sit up here and be this, you know, this victim and say that I haven't, in the midst of all those painful years, we've hurt a lot of people in my life. And somehow we think that when it comes to our own personal brokenness, somebody else is responsible. They aren't. What you're responsible for doing is seeing yourself through forgiveness. So forgiveness is important, too, to get to a place where you can forgive the people who hurt you and understand that forgiveness is not saying that what you did to me is me.
Right.
Forgiveness is me putting the key in the lock to the chain that has been connecting me to you for years and dropping and releasing the chain off of myself.
That's powerful.
And that's
Say that again.
You know, forgiveness is you putting the key in the lock to the chain that has been connecting you to that person all these years and putting that key in and allowing that chain to come through. For you, and forgiveness is the key to you becoming free and beginning to transform your life.
That's
forgiveness
powerful.
Is not good. It's necessary. It's necessary.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, walking in and learning to forgive, and then beginning, you know, sometimes you can set yourself apart from the people who have validated your behavior. You know, if you are ready to transform, you're going to have to be ready to separate yourself from some people because there are people in your life who like to hurt.
Yep.
There's people who, as long as you validate them, you make them feel better, you make them feel
important because
they meet you in your brokenness. Some people are going to have a problem with you being whole.
It's true.
And you've got to make a decision to figure out who those people are And you'll notice who those people are, because those will be the people who, even as you discuss and say that this climate change will continue to try to pull you back into the depths of darkness that you are in, because that's where they are. And so
right.
I found that I needed to change my circle and discontinue certain relationships, certain people that were going to validate my messy behavior, people that were going to be okay with me not being okay. I needed people who were going to hold me accountable, because in the midst of my mess, people weren't really holding me accountable to being better,
right?
To being my best.
Right.
And so you've got to be willing to separate yourself. And that's a painful part of the process, but you've got to be willing to do that if you are going to grow beyond where you are and continue that process of transformation. So those are probably like the key things for me. And then I think the last piece for me was, you've got to begin to, you realize that through your pain, a lot of lies have been told to you. And that's really where you made decisions. You made decisions based off the things that you didn't think you were good enough, and you had low self-esteem. I'm not pretty. I'm ugly.
Right.
I'll never be anything. Right. Nobody's ever going to love me. I'm not good enough. So you live your life through that. What you now have to begin to do is, you've got to replace the lies with the truth.
There you go. There you go.
You've got to begin to replace those lies with truth. And whether that is a T.D. Jakes book, whether that is an episode of Yanla, whether it's Dr. Phil, whether you're watching Oprah, Super School Sunday, or for me, it was the word of God. And it was, for me personally, finding out what he said about me and replacing the lies with the absolute truth. So I don't care what your belief system is, but you've got to put yourself in front of some people who are going to begin to validate the truth about who you are, so you can begin to replace the lies with truthfulness. And that begins to change your own perception about who you are.
Right. Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. I agree. It's telling a new story, a new story about yourself. So telling yourself the same old story, and the story that's basically built on lies, you got to begin to replace that story with, we tell ourselves we're not worthy, or we don't feel like worthy, or we, like you say, we're ugly or undeserving, or whatever the story is we've been telling ourselves all of these years. We have to begin to tell ourselves we are beautiful, we are worthy, we are beautiful.
Yes.
In the image of God, are part of the vine. No, and if I always say this, because I know that I have Christian listeners, but then I know I do also have those that are not Christians, but I do refer to my faith because I am a Christian. And so, again, as Sean was saying, we're not here to change your religious beliefs. We're here to help you. And the truth is, regardless of what religion it comes from, the truth is just the truth. And what I strongly believe is that we have all been created in the image of the divine. Now, whatever you call the divine, we've been created in the image of love and glory and goodness, all of these things, and if those things are not, if not reflecting that, then somewhere you have sold a lie, because somebody abused you does not mean that you're not worthy. That was their problem. They had some type of issue. Maybe they had some type of a sickness. Maybe they were abused, and so they're just perpetuating the thing that happened to them. But that doesn't mean that you're not worthy of love. That doesn't mean that you're not a good person. That doesn't mean that you're not valuable. It just means that those people had an issue and a problem that they put off on you. And I'm with you with that. With that forgiveness, oh my God. Telling the truth first. I remember the moment. I can remember the day, the time when I had to admit to myself that everything that I had gone through and all the pain, I had to come to the grips one day that it was all me. It's because of me. It was because of the decisions that I had made. It was because of the things that I had allowed myself to be involved in. I had to stop blaming other people. And until you do that, as an audience, until you stop blaming other people, and again, we're not saying that those people were right in what they did, but you do have, this is where you regain your strength. This is where you regain your self-esteem, when you take back the power. Because as long as you hold them, it was their fault, and I'm mad at this one, and I'm not going to forgive that one. Then, as Sean said, then they hold power over you. They got to take back your power. That's what forgiveness does as well. It takes your power back. You know, forgive them. Let them go. Release them to be their highest, to the highest good. And so that you can be released to your highest good. Because as long as you are holding that unforgiveness, you cannot move forward. You can't. You can't.
Nope.
You cannot move forward. Because like you said, Sean, you're chained. You're chained. And you know what? Oftentimes the person that you're not wanting to forgive, they done went on with their lives.
Yep.
Yes. They done gone on. They ain't even thinking about you no more. You know? You just, and you're holding this. Yeah.
Yep.
And they're prospering and whatever. You know, you're sitting back mad and pissed off. I wonder how they're able to. Because they didn't let it go, honey. They let it go. And so you got to release it. Yes, it's painful. It feels like unfair. But for you, it really is. Forgiveness really is for you. It really is. It's for you. I've seen that quote go around. I don't know whose quote it is. It says that forgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else would get sick or die.
That's
and that is what
that
it
quote.
Is.
I love that
because
quote.
It really is. You're drinking the poison, but you know somebody else. Girl, that is so true. So let people go. Let people go for your sake, not for their sake, for your sake.
Your sake.
And and here's what I found out too with my on my journey of forgiveness. The help, or you, I'll say it this way, there was a person that hurt me very, very, very deeply, more so than I have ever been hurt in my 60 years in the earth suit. Just tore my heart out. And I thought I had forgave him. You know, I went through the processes of whatever, and I had released it, and I had let it go. But I hadn't, and I didn't know that until the Spirit spoke to me one day and confronted me about it. And I said, well, yeah, I have forgiven him. And you know, you haven't. You haven't forgiven him. You've forgiven him. This is why you react to them this way, and this is why you do such and such, because you have not forgiven this person. And I said, well, you know what I mean? I thought I had, so I'm dumbfounded. I don't know what else to do. And the Spirit spoke to me and said this. He said, ask me for the power to give. And when I did that, he gave me that power because I couldn't do it on my own. This person had hurt me so deeply. I couldn't forgive him on my own. I needed help. I needed help to forgive. And so if you're out there, maybe you try to forgive the person, but for whatever reason, just seem like you can't let go. Listen, ask for the help, the power, the grace, whatever word resonates with you, to forgive, because you gotta forgive, guys. Because everyone has gone through challenges and suffering, and it is, and like I say, it's not for your breaking, it's for your making. So you can tell someone else, hey, listen, I went through it, but I survived. Mm-hmm. And if I can, you can. They need to know. That's what's so powerful about our stories, that when we come through, listen, Sean, when you were talking, I kept hearing a phrase, you know, that talks about you'll go through the fire, but when you come out, you won't even smell like smoke.
Yeah.
Honey,
yeah.
If you guys could see her, and for those of you who know her, you know what I'm speaking of, but for the listening audience that you don't know her and you can see her, this woman is absolutely gorgeous. And you would never, and not only just gorgeous, you know what I mean? Not just, it's not just the physical, the glow that you have. It's that essence that surrounds you, that brightness, that light, you know? And you would never know. If you didn't share your story, I would have never known that you went through anything. Now, I knew you had a story because all powerful people do. You know, so I knew you had a story, but I didn't know what it was. But to hear you tell your story, to see who you are, it's like, wow, she went through the fire, but she did not get burned. You know, you came out of the other side not smelling like smoke. Isn't that awesome?
It's beautiful.
It is.
Because I never, if you would have told me 5 years ago I'd be here, I would have told you you were lying. If you would have told me 5 years ago that I had, that I was going to be in position to influence women, that I was going to be writing for a global magazine and sharing my story and inspiring women, if you told me that I was going to be in front of a crowd speaking to people, and people would listen to what I needed to say, if you would have told me that, I would even have had the confidence to do that. I would have told you, I don't know who you're talking about. I look in the mirror and I don't even know who I like. I tell people compliment me, people get in my inbox, people tell me how inspirational I am, and I'm so humbled. And I look in the mirror, and I'm like, God, this must be, I don't know who I look like before, but I'm like, this must be, you know, this must be what you look like. Like I'm becoming more, you know, more like you and less of me.
Yes.
And that's really what I want people to see, and I want and I want to project. And, you know, there's nothing that we can't get through. Nothing. There's nothing that we can't get through, but you have to understand the word through.
Yeah.
That means it's a process.
That's right.
If you want to wake up tomorrow and it all be gone, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There is a process, and it took work, it took years for you to get to this broken place, to this broken state. It's going to take time. My journey started to full healing, you know, trying to heal myself in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2018. And I'm just really breaking through and really feeling restored. Because there's healing and there's restoration, and I feel restored.
Right.
And it's a process, though. It's a process. And I don't I want to tell anybody listening, don't give up on the process. Don't allow the process to wear you out, to tire you out, because it's so easy when you're going through the process to get sucked back into what's been a comfortable way of being for you. But if you're going to reach the next level, if you're going to reach the level of who it was that you were born and meant to be, you're going to have to get through. You're going to have to and understand that you might not be able to see the other side from where you're standing, but if you keep walking, you'll get closer. And soon enough, you'll start to see the light. And then soon enough, you'll start to see the opening at the end of the tunnel. And then soon enough, before you know it, you'll be in front of, you know, the opening at the end of the tunnel. And next thing you know, you're walking out on the other side. But you got to keep moving.
It's true.
You got to keep moving.
And as you keep moving forward, that light will get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. You know you're going the right way because the light tunnel gets brighter, brighter, and brighter. You got to keep going through, like Sean said, in order to get it is going through. It's not something that's going to happen. It is a process. you know, and I just pick back on what Sean said. Don't be afraid of the process. Allow the process to get those layers off of you. You know, one of I watch a lot of kid movies because of my grandchildren, and one of the movies that I like is Shrek, the original one. And when he talks about, he says, ogres have layers. And in order to get to who we really are, in so many words, he says, you have to peel off these layers, you know. And that's how we are, you know. And in order to get to that true essence of who we are, you start pulling off these layers, and those layers are kind of ouchy, but it's so necessary.
Yep.
It's so necessary. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage everyone that's listening in tonight to please, you know, allow yourself to go through the process, allow yourself to go through journey. And if you are one that has gone through so far through the journey that you can reach it and help someone else, then help other people. That's what we are doing. We've been through it. We're not saying, hey, we perfect and we always, honey, the half ain't been told. Is that right on the half ain't been told? Before I understood that it wasn't about breaking me, but about making me, I used to ask God, do you even like me? You know, because, geez, you know, the stuff I have to go through, do you even like me, you know? But I begin to understand, you know, the scripture that says, much is given, much is required. And when you have, you know, we're talking about being the being that we were born to be and created to be. In order for us to be, have the power to influence, we have to go through it. I mean, you know, there is sympathy and then there's empathy. And we have to have empathy. We have to be touched with the feelings of people's infirmities. That's what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. You know, he went through it. And so he can be touched, so he can have empathy and just say, well, I sympathize with you. Mm-mm. He walked, he on all he was tempted, so that he would touch with the feelings of our infirmities. And that's what we have to do. We have to be able to empathize with the challenges and the things that people go through. So you got to go through it to show other people that they get through it. How are they going to know? How else are they going to know? And so, you know, I'm looking at this, the power of woman to influence. And the power is, you know, the power is going through the process. That's what gives you the power to influence. You can't have power if you don't go through making. And that's where the power comes from, is going through the trials and the tribulations and the whatever and the shame. Maybe you got to be a little embarrassed to tell your story. You know, I've been, you know, something my show and I ain't even told, but I'm gonna be true about it. I haven't got to get ready to share some of it. But the things that I have shared, and I shouldn't have said that because I know a child from experience is gonna come now. Oh, so you didn't. So now you just share that. But anyway, some of the things I have shared, you're embarrassed when you first start sharing that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And you know it's going to bring some healing and some help to other people, but these are our personal stories, the things that we have actually lived through, you know, and some of them ain't pretty. You know, some of the stuff ain't pretty. But if it's for the healing of people, then we are willing to go through it again, to much is given, much required. So, Sean, I thank you so much for being here, for being a guest tonight. We are honored. We're honored to have you here. I thank you for sharing your story. I thank you for having boldness to do something, to take a boldness to be able to share those parts of us which we wish that we just kind of tuck away in the closet that anybody ever knows. So I commend you for having the bravery and boldness and honesty to share your story with us tonight. We must have you to come back and we'll make sure everything is running smoothly. I apologize for all the technical difficulties in the beginning. That has never happened. It has never happened in the year that I have been on. It has never happened. So I'm going, what do I do? You know? And I do need to probably hire an assistant to help me out when I'm doing my broadcast, but I just haven't been able to do that yet. But it's coming. So again, thank you so much. Thank you, audience. We appreciate you being here. I know you have something out of the show and story. Did you have maybe about, can you give us a wrap up in maybe about 40 seconds or so?
Sure. I just want to thank you, and I want to let the audience know that if you want to reach out to me, you can reach out to me on Facebook. It's Shaundell, Shaundyll Rogers. You can also see my writings, my pieces in the Women of Lore magazine, and you can go to issue.com to read all of the articles, all of the issues of Women of More magazine. If you need me or you would like me to present, you can just reach out to me. You can also email me at shaundyll@gmail.com. shaundyll@gmail.com.
You will be hearing from her again. We will definitely have her back on show. We do have June Love, which is another transformation coach, that life coach, that's coming on next week, and then we have another lady that's coming on the last week in May, but we will have Shaun come back. Please reach out to her in ways in which that she has given you. Again, thank you so much for being here, Shaun. It has been a true and an honor for. And thank you all for listening in. We appreciate you. You have been listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show with your host, Sheila Woods. Thank you, and have a great evening. And until next time, keep living your happy.